Welcome back to another episode of LA Confidential. My name is Chauncey Talese, and I am the NFL editor for SportsAlDente.com. It's a great website. Subscribe.
Do it.
Do now. It. The football season is ramping up, so we have a ton of Chargers and Rams and fantasy articles.
Did you subscribe yet?
No, they didn't, but they should, because if you use promo code LA Confidential, you get 10% off our monthly, yearly, and lifetime packages.
Oh, what a great deal. You guys should totally go subscribe.
Seriously, great. It's a great deal. Plus, you get all sorts of awesome podcasts like this one, The Coach and the Don, our fantasy podcast, the West Coast Mix and Bouncers, our NBA podcast, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Do we mention this podcast, too?
Oh, yes, we did, but it doesn't hurt to mention it again. All right, we got... This is kind of a slow point of the year, but we actually have a lot of football stuff to talk about and a bunch of other things in entertainment. Plus our top five college movies in honor of college football coming back.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. And high school's coming back too this week. But we'll start in Los Angeles. We'll do a somber walk through Los Angeles. Not sponsored by the Arclight Cinema. The Arclight Cinema. Amazing sound, beautiful picture, mediocre ass popcorn. We'll start first with the L.A. Chargers, because they're technically not really from L.A. Starting safety Derwin James is going to be out for a considerable amount of time.
I think they said 3 to 4 months, he has that that screw. No pun intended, that screw loose in his foot.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge blow, though, because, I mean, with the Chargers, 3 to 4 months could mean 3 to 4 years, because their injury luck is just horrendous.
Exactly.
I mean, they need to call, like, a young priest and an old priest to bless some shit, because, my God, every year.
Yeah, and especially to a player like Derwin James.
I know.
He's their ball hawk.
He's in the line to be the next Ed Reed, God damn it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. It's a huge blow to their defense, and, you know, they have all that other Melvin Gordon drama going. Not that the two are related, but... You know, they're just a huge cloud over them.
Exactly.
Slowly but surely, there's a huge cloud coming over the Chargers. Like, Derwin James is a tough one to come back from.
Yeah, and speaking of the Melvin Gordon holdout, it looks like it's going to stretch into the regular season just because they haven't made any strides in contract negotiations. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's not great.
If you're doing your fantasy football draft this weekend... You might want to invest in that backup to...
Adam Schefter screenshotted, I guess, his their fantasy draft at ESPN, and someone took Melvin Gordon in round two.
Yeah.
Or a couple other mistakes, and was like, Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess they know something. They must be their insiders.
Yeah.
But the other more somber news as we climb up Rams Ravine. Micah Kizer, starting linebacker, out for a considerable amount of time. No timetable yet, but he tore his pec. On paper, it doesn't sound like a big deal because everyone outside of the Rams is like, who the hell is Micah Kizer? But, you know, he earned a starting spot alongside Corey Littleton on the inside. And it's not great because behind him, it's just a bunch of dudes.
Well, and not to mention, too, like, coming from a Cowboys fan, losing a productive linebacker sucks.
How would you know after the week you've had? We'll get there, though.
Oh, I'm just talking about in terms of Sean Lee.
Yeah. Well, at least they can schedule that one.
Yeah.
They know in advance.
Yeah.
But this is kind of a huge blow because it seemed like he was starting to really make an impression on Wade. You know, he and Corey Littleton both are like the two best young linebackers they have because Clay Matthews. You know, how long is he going to be playing? And then Dante Fowler's probably going to be a ghost next year because if he endures himself and has a good year, someone's going to offer him like an Anthony Barr-style contract.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's going to take it because the Rams are, A, not going to pay him long-term money because they have other fish to fry and, you know...
It's a business. You've got to sit there and take
You know, this is like one chance to get a long-term deal because before the Rams trade... His reputation in Jacksonville is, you know, not that great.
Yeah.
He couldn't crack the starting lineup after being a first-round pick. Top five, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was pretty foul. I'll leave that there.
Oh, God. But, you know.
We got to introduce one dad joke per show.
Just one. But, yeah.
Minimum of one.
It's, you know, we've got two preseason games left to figure out who's going to fill that void, but... You know, hopefully Wade will figure out something. That linebacking core is in the one spot on the Rams D they haven't been able to really figure out.
But if there's anyone that can do it, it's Wade.
It's Wade Phillips. You know, they made do last year, and hopefully, you know, Clay and Fowler are able to do enough on the inside, on the outside, and Littleton can make another leap before he actually is going to get paid next year by somebody, maybe the Rams, because he's on his free agent tender. So we'll see. So that was the Rams Ravine, and to a lesser extent, Chargers. They don't even get a name.
Yeah.
not Brian.
They're on borrowed time.
They're on borrowed time.
Until they move back to San Diego.
Sadly, not brought to you by Amoeba. Amoeba Records, a beacon of counterculture, and is now going to become a condo complex. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
I'm pouring one out.
We are pouring one out. Many good times at Amoeba. Moving up north to Oakland / Vegas. Mike Mayock, the GM of the Oakland Raiders, which sounds weird to say, but it's true, laid the hammer down on Antonio Brown, saying he's got to be all in or all out.
Yeah, and after he made those comments, he showed up for camp.
What a concept.
And, you know, started practicing and was there at the game against the Cardinals.
I'm really starting to come convinced this is just a bit for Hard Knocks.
Well, I don't know if you saw the story after the game.
No.
Where he filed another grievance about the helmet.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So, he has a now new grievance with, I guess, the current helmet that he has.
Uh-huh.
So,
God.
Helmet watch continues.
It's a slow news story, but it's also very unique and fascinating. And exactly. Gruden had his back. I mean, I guess he has to, but...
to a degree, I would think.
Well, you know, Gruden doesn't do anything but half-assed.
It's true.
Except call Monday Night Football games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll
remember,
see.
He's a dream killer, not a dream maker.
Yeah.
God. Do yourself a favor and watch that clip.
We had 8 more years of this shit.
Yeah. Hey, they're going to be Nevada's problem next year, so...
I know, but still, they're still going to need a lot of primetime games.
Well, yeah.
Because, like, oh, no, they're not. Oh, yeah, they're going to be in Vegas next year. They just don't get the new stadium until, what, 2022?
I think it's 2021.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
All right, well.
But who cares?
Real quick, the Arizona Cardinals released Kevin White because, you know, Kevin White, I guess, got his annual injury.
Yeah.
I feel bad, but I think it's kind of the end of the road.
I think so. I mean, it sucks, too, because he was such a talented receiver coming out of college. And...
But that's how it goes.
Actually,
wasn't he Geno's receiver? Like, that was the combo in West Virginia, if I'm not mistaken?
I believe so, yeah.
That sounds about right, which it feels like forever ago.
I know.
I mean, look where Geno is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least he's employed, I guess. Wait, yeah. Is he?
Geno Smith?
Yeah, where's he at?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got him and Teddy Bridgewater mixed up.
No, Bridgewater, him I can't forget.
Yeah. Is he still on the Giants?
He might be. I don't know.
Maybe?
I don't really care enough to look it up with Gino, but yeah, sorry, yeah. Kevin White. You could have been the next Tavon Austin, but it just never happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. But they're also looking to sign Michael Crabtree, maybe for real this time.
Yeah, if something doesn't fall through again.
I don't know if Crabtree is washed necessarily, but it's close.
Yeah, but at least we can anticipate, if he does sign with the Cardinals, at least 2 fights a year.
Yeah.
Against the league, so that'll be fun.
God, I hope so.
A couple broken chains, you know, it'll be fun.
It's probably Tlaib's last year, so.
Yeah. Might as well go out with a swing.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I see what you did there.
Yep.
All right, well, now.
Told you, minimum of one dad joke per. Minimum of one.
Minimum of one. All right. Well, let's mosey on over to the Cowboy Corral.
Yeah, buddy.
A very, very contentious Cowboy Corral this week.
That's right.
Not brought to you by the Texas State Fair. The Texas State Fair. Yeah, okay, we'll fry it. So, where do you want to start? Jerry Jones, I guess, offended Zeke and his agent. Why did he do that? Or what did he do?
Who?
Yeah, alley-oop.
There
baby.
We go. There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, so after their preseason...
Number three, baby. Number three.
After their preseason game, Jerry
against
Jones...
Against who? Their preseason victory against the...
Against the third and fourth string players of the Rams.
Yeah, so, baby.
Congratulations.
I'll take it. Oh, no, I will say my... Like,
I say, really? That's dark.
My son was very happy.
I know.
He's seven, and he was very upset that the Rams beat the Cowboys during the playoffs.
That wasn't.
Well, yeah. Anyway, when I showed him the score, and he got very excited, so that's why I'm honoring him.
What are you rooting for him first, preseason football or Santa?
Well, obviously Santa, because, you know, preseason football is just the best. No. Preseason football, duh. I'm not a monster. I'm not an Oakland fan.
Oh. They'll be mean. They're all going to be, like, teamless in, like, a year or two. All
right, fine. I'm not a Redskins fan.
Well, most of them don't want to be either. Yeah. But anyway, Jerry, after the Cowboys' fake victory against the Rams, you know, he praised...
No, that's all real, bro.
What's the running back's name?
Who? Oh.
Not Zeke. No. The one.
Tony Pollard.
There we go.
He was our fourth-round pick in this year's draft.
Tony Pollard had the game of his life because it's only been 2 weeks into his career.
Yeah.
Or 2 games into his career. And Jerry replied with, Zeke who?
Yeah. And I mean, look, I get it hasn't been the smoothest of trips in terms of getting these contract negotiations between Dak, Amari, and Zeke, but you're obviously throwing a wrench in the whole plan by acting like that.
It wouldn't be his only wrench.
I know. I know it wouldn't. It'd be his whole tool shed at this point. But...
There's easier ways to say, good job, man.
Exactly. Like, Tony's having... You know, he's had a solid camp.
Yeah.
You know, he's showing his playmaking ability. And based off of what I saw at practice and what I've been reading online is that... Kellen Moore... tends to do like a two halfback set formations. So that's where Tony kind of comes in. Like you'll have, you know, knock on wood, but hopefully you'll have Zeke on one side and Tony Pollard on the other side. And it's going to confuse the defenses because you have two playmakers back there.
Sure.
So,
but if Zeke isn't playing, who gives a shit?
Exactly. Then you have Alfred Morris and Tony Pollard.
All right. That...
yeah. But no, I mean it's like, look, I get you're the owner, you're the general manager, you want your hands in everything, but I think Jerry needs a pullback coach like Sean McVay does, or so like someone could sit there and be like, Jerry, shush.
That wasn't Steven's job because they also did something equally dumb. In a vacuum, it's not dumb, but they extended Jalen Smith when they didn't really have to.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, but Bill Barnwell broke down that Cowboys could have had him for this year and then his restricted free agent tender for 4.8 next year and then extend him. But now they're paying him $19 million over the next 2 years, and then after that, he'll be eligible for about 50.3 over 5 years.
Yeah, so overall it's like a 7 year... I think it's 7 years, $60 million contract.
Yeah, which I don't know why they felt compelled to do it, but I mean, I know why.
Yeah, I mean,
you know why.
If we're sitting here ranking everyone that needed the contract extension, you got Zeke, Dak, Amari, and then you had Jalen, you had Lalel, Byron Jones. So it's just I get why I'm glad we have Jalen Smith locked up for the next 7 years, because again, here's a player that came in the second round, never knew if he was gonna play football again based off his terrible knee injury. And it's like you said, you know, you invested $4.5 million in me in terms of his contract to draft me in the second round.
And
now I'm here to repay you in terms of my play, and he's done phenomenal for us.
True, but I will say Jerry crying in the press conference, I know it was partially genuine because no one's that good of an actor, but except for maybe Leo or Daniel Day-Lewis, but I'm just saying, like, I get what he was doing. It's that I'm rewarding people who, you know, show up every day, come to camp.
Yeah, I mean, like, I gotta hold it to like, him.
But, like, come on, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta hand it to him in terms of, like, you know, he's doing the backbone, saying, like, look, I'm making a team-friendly contract here. I'm signing a player to a team-friendly contract. I want team-friendly players on my team.
Well,
like, that's what he stressed during his press conference, but it's like, come on, man.
Like, really? I see what you're doing, and yeah. It's not funny anymore.
Exactly.
Like,
like, good, like, hands down,
in a great, vacuum,
like,
fine.
Like, great for Jalen Smith, absolutely deserved the contract, deserved the money and everything.
The timing was just horrible.
Exactly.
Because now it's like, okay, cool. Because at least last year with the Rams, because everyone's like got a lot of like anxiety when it's like, oh, they extended Brandon Cooks, they extended Todd Gurley, they extended Rob Heppenstein. At least that was all part of a plan to get the, you know, the core people locked up, and then all the, like, free up the money to give Aaron Donald a massive payday.
Yeah.
But this is just bad timing, exactly. And it's clear there isn't really a plan except, well, look, we're gonna like subtly take jabs at Zeke, and possibly Dak.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't surprise me if Amari gets one next. Is like, hey, he came to camp every day. He played with plantar fasciitis. Well, practiced with plantar fasciitis. All that stuff. It's like, okay, like, we're trying to weed out the problem elements. Meanwhile, it's like, you're going to have to make a decision here.
Exactly.
Zeke's not going to cave.
Exactly.
He's just not going to. Like, that's just not where players are.
But you think that days. You think that Amari's going to get it before Dak? Because I think it'd be the other way around.
I would say maybe... I don't know, because at least with Amari, you haven't heard anything one way or the other about how the negotiations are going. Like, it just seems like that's the theme, is I'm going to reward people who are here every day, because that's what kind of culture I want to build, but meanwhile, I'm doing it the dumb way.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, because now you still have three major pieces to sign, and you've already blown a lot of your money for this year on Jalen Smith.
Yeah.
No offense, it's just like... It wasn't the biggest priority. They could have let it ride this year, and then he still has a 4.8 restricted free agent tender next year. And no one is exactly going to trade for it, because he's only started 22 games. It's a pump the brakes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Again, good for him in a vacuum.
Yeah.
But that's not how we don't live in vacuums. There's a whole other thing going on, and, you know, they're still kicking the can down the road. I mean, tick goddamn talk. I'm just saying.
I know, trust me. Like, I would love for them to sit there and work out a deal for Zeke just to get him back.
I don't think I honestly don't think they're going to. It really seems like, okay, maybe they'll ink one of the two of Dak and Amari in camp, and then it's just going to drag.
Yeah, I can see them doing at least one more extension this year,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe doing one before free agency next year.
Maybe. It'll depend on how the season goes.
Exactly.
Because, you know, whomever doesn't get it, which I guess it'll probably be Amari just because he's slightly more expendable, I would say.
But here's the other thing, too, that we forget about is we have Byron Jones, too.
Why not? But I mean...
And I feel like he's going to be the odd man out, unfortunately.
Probably.
Which sucks, but...
I'm just wondering, like, if... Okay, let's say you don't sign Zeke and it's, you know, September. You're trying to say, well, maybe after two games he'll be like, all right, fine, I quit. I give.
Yeah.
What do you do then? Do you try to trade him? I know we talk about it every week, but it's looking more and more likely that's what they want to do. Or at least explore.
Yeah. I mean, again, it wouldn't surprise me, because nothing in the NFL surprises me anymore.
I don't know. The Antonio Brown helmet thing surprises me.
Well, yeah, but in terms of like, yeah.
Like, that was a new one for me.
Yeah, but I mean... If we do decide to trade Zeke, which would absolutely suck, like, I hope that we would get, you know, top compensation for it.
I don't think you will, though. Because, you know, this whole thing's playing out in public.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, what... unless you're, like, a team that needs a running back and you're going to... And is a contender, I don't know why you'd give up a whole bunch of assets for him. And you're just going to have to either promise him an extension after that next year, or what?
I mean, the only team that comes to mind in terms of a contender that has the cap space to do it is the Colts.
But they don't need him.
Exactly.
Because they traded for Duke already. Didn't they? What about the ones that traded for Duke?
No.
That was Houston.
Yeah. Great division.
Okay, but no. Who did the Colts got a back, though?
Dante Foreman.
There we go. Dante Foreman.
But he tore his bicep.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh, Foreman.
And so they signed Tre'Quan West.
Oh, Tre'Quan West?
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, man. The Fantasy League bicycle.
Yeah.
Everyone's had a turn.
Exactly.
Wow, okay. Well, maybe there's room there.
Yeah.
I mean, if it works out, you know, he'd do Andrew Luck wonders, assuming Andrew Luck is going to play.
Yeah. He's healthy.
But yeah, good job, Jerry. Way to make this worse.
Yeah, man, it's...
I mean, the crying in the press conference is weird, but then announcing the deal, like, in the middle of a separate press conference was amazing.
But you gotta hand it to Jerry, like...
Do you, though? No,
He sure knows how to make a statement.
I don't know. He's like Homer. I'm willing to bet he'd trade his Danish for a doorstop.
I'd take
he's
that
He's a back. Master negotiator.
Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, he stumbled into a lot of things. I'm just saying, like, it could really be, like, he's not the great tactician we give him credit for. Especially at this age.
Yeah.
All right, so that was the Cowboy Corral. Once again, not brought to you by the Texas State Fair. The Texas State Fair, located... I'm just saying, this shit'll kill you. If you're not the Iowa State Fair.
Hey, and somehow your dad wants to go there.
No, I know. Anyway, some quick LA sports news. Things got dark in Lakerland.
Oh, how so?
Well, you see, after Boogie Cousins tore his ACL, the Lakers are scrambling for a center, even though they have Anthony Davis already. But he doesn't want to play center. They started looking at some names. I heard...
Hopefully some good names, right?
Marcin Gortat, which, fine. He's washed, but he's not super washed. Maurice Spates, sure. Grumble. And then Joakim Noah, who, you know, I know he didn't want to play for the Knicks, and he looked pretty bad after being worn out in Chicago.
Screw these guys. Let's talk about the real one. Big name.
Oh, Noah, maybe for nothing, but they were looking at Dwight Howard.
Yeah, baby. Dwight Howard's back, baby.
I thought I was being punked, honestly. Like, Dwight Howard, didn't we do this already and it sucked? And, you know, everyone, he's one of the least popular superstars of the last 20 years.
But it's Dwight Howard.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember they traded for Dwight. I remember being at a Chili Peppers concert, like, the day it happened, and, like, they had a huge Dwight Howard banner, because they're huge Laker people.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and it felt so amazing. Then you're like, 4 months later, you're like, this sucks. Like, it's the most retroactively dumb thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he only lasted there a year. Because Kobe hated him, because Dwight, you know, doesn't really have mental toughness, and even then he was good back then in 2012, but now he's washed and also super unlikable.
I think he was super unlikable back then.
No, he was super unlikable, but at least he was like good.
Okay.
At least he's legitimately a really good player, legitimately going to be a Hall of Famer because of his peak years, but no one wants him around. Like Atlanta. When he was in Atlanta, they basically paid $5 to get rid of him. Like $5 over his market value to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Charlotte, he was a cancer. Everywhere he's gone, he's been a cancer.
I see a trend here.
Yeah. Memphis is like, sure, you can talk to him. Fine. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. By all means.
You believe this fucking guy? All right, cool. So, yeah. The Lakers will sign a washed center. And then maybe throughout the year realize Davis is better off playing at the center spot, but we'll see. Let's see. Also in dark LA sports news, Uribe of the Dodgers accepted a 20-game suspension for domestic assault. He served, I think, 5 of it earlier than he had his appeal, and the appeal got denied, so he accepted a 20-game suspension. Go Dodgers! At least they're crushing the Toronto Blue Jays right now.
Yeah.
And that's also cool. In super dark LA sports news, the XFL released their list of logos this year, and
the LA, not only the logos, but the team names,
the teenager, and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And apparently, they hired the guy that designs the default teams for Madden. Yeah. I take that back. Madden's more creative.
Yeah.
The LA's XFL team, who are technically defending champions. They won. They won the only season. Tommy Maddox led them to a XFL championship.
That's right.
They're going from the LA Extreme to the LA Wildcats. Yeah.
Do yourselves a favor and look up the team names.
Oh no, we're gonna read them.
Hold on. We're gonna go.
We're doing because only eight. It's easy.
Well, no. I mean, like the. I guess their motto or their mantra.
Oh no, I didn't see those. I just saw the team logos. Oh, I'm like,
Do yourselves a favor and look up like why they're called the names that they're.
I think I saw the Battlehawks one. And I was like, this is bad.
Yeah, but they're all like that.
We have the DC Defenders. Write your own joke there. The Dallas Renegades. Sure.
Yeah.
There's so much better names you could have used for Dallas. Like Desperados for one. Or bring.
I think the Desperados are the Arena Football League.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not allowed. You can't have the same name for two different leagues. Don't have the Cardinals, the Giants.
Yeah, whatever.
And a myriad of other college football teams. The DC Defenders, Dallas Renegades, the Houston Roughnecks. Sure.
Well, they want to be original. That's why.
The aforementioned LA Wildcats, the New York Guardians, which okay.
Yeah.
The St. Louis Battlehawks, the Seattle Dragons, and the Tampa Bay Vipers. You know those, like, the replacements, and they don't get the rights to the NFL teams? So they have to, like, kind of skate around it. So you get, like, the Washington Sentinels. I forget the other teams in the replacements, but it's, like, it's kind of close, but it just looks wrong.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out what the hell the team's supposed to be. That's what this is, except Vince McMahon paid a lot of money for these names. Like, they had a lot of money. They had how many months to come up with this? They've had 2 years to figure this out. They had much cooler names back in the day. The Las Vegas Outlaws were fun. The LA Extreme, the Memphis Maniacs, the Birmingham Bolts, the Orlando Rage.
Well, again,
the San Francisco Demons. Hold on, the New York New Jersey Hitmen. Which, come on.
Well,
the Chicago Enforcers. Like, oh, that was perfect.
Yeah, because back then they were. Some you can pass them as football teams.
Well, they're at least cool names.
Yeah,
and they work with the region they're in for the most part, or at least they're fun. I mean, come on, Chicago Enforcers was perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah,
but I don't know what the hell this is.
This is I already spent a bunch of money. Trying to get this thing started. Let's go cheap on the names.
I get that Vince McMahon lost a lot of creativity after he bought WCW and ECW, but dear God.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. The XFL is going to fold again, and it won't be as fun this time. Moving on to some superhero shit.
And oh boy, do we have some superhero outrage.
We do. Well, we're getting there. We're going to just burn through a couple of these. So Venom 2 not only hired Andy Serkis to direct, which... Okay,
yeah.
That's going to be fun. But Robert Richardson, who most recently shot Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he's been Quentin Tarantino's DP since the Kill Bill movies. He's done a bunch of other stuff, too.
He's a DP specialist?
He is. Director of photography.
Yeah.
He's going to be shooting Venom. I initially incorrectly reported him shooting the Batman, but actually it's now Venom.
Okay.
But still, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's going to look amazing. Chad Stahelski of John Wick. He co-directed the first John Wick.
Okay.
He's going to be supervising the reshoots, the action reshoots for Birds of Prey.
Ooh.
I know. I'm like, okay, obviously reshoots are part of the thing. That's, you know, anytime you hear a movie has reshoots, it's normal. Don't freak out.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's going to be, they're bringing him in specifically to supervise it is actually pretty cool. Like, he's a legendary stuntman and, you know, he directed John frickin' Wick.
Exactly. And last time I checked, John Wick has some pretty cool action scenes.
I mean, David Leitch did the second and third one, I believe. And he also did Atomic Blonde and Deadpool 2. But, you know, they're still a good team.
Exactly.
Like, Kathy Yan's movie is also really well cast. I forgot Harley Quinn's coming back with Margot Robbie. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who I'm a huge fan of, is in it. Ewan McGregor. Ali Wong. Let's see, Rosie Perez. Anyway, nice deep cast. But still, the fact that he's supervising the action scenes is very encouraging.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Stephen Amell has booked his first post-Arrow gig, doing a show that I can't wait to watch, even though it's on Stars. I don't have Stars. Called Heels. It's a wrestling drama, so I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to miss Arrow, but I'm sure he'll be back in flashbacks or...
Yeah. Or another crossover event.
Well, yeah, they'll bring him. Like, they'll bring him back for like a second.
Yeah.
Especially if Heels doesn't work out. Kate Micucci, who's half of Garfunkel and Oates, she's joining. Also, you know, huge prolific voice actress, is coming on to Supergirl. That's interesting. I'm in for that.
She's coming on to her.
Yeah, maybe, we don't know.
Yeah.
But the big superhero news, obviously, was the divorce of Marvel and Sony.
Hashtag save Spider-Man.
No.
Save him.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I want them to come together and just be like, all right, fuck it. We'll do one more movie and then you can have them back. Fine. Or, you know, you can do your own thing with them and then maybe we'll have them on loan for our stuff.
Well, I don't know if you saw, like, the details in terms of their, like, agreement.
Uh-huh.
Or, I guess, Marvel, like, they're, before the divorce, their current deal was that I think Marvel got, like, 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And, or Disney got 5% or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm drawing a blank on it now, but like 5%.
Sure.
And they were arguing to get 50%, like, you know, split it 50-50.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Sony's, I think, flexing right now just because of the success of Far From Home and Homecoming and Spider-Verse.
Well, more so Spider-Verse and Venom, which are just them by them, or just, it's just Sony by themselves.
Yeah. So they're sitting there flexing. Oh, no, why would we sit there and give you more money when we're doing fine on our own?
That's correct.
But I don't. We've seen this before in terms of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I don't have faith in them in terms of doing a solo Spider-Man.
It's different leadership. You know? Because that new leadership, you do get Spider-Verse out of it.
Yeah,
and
but Kevin Feige also worked with them on that.
True. Oh, he worked with them on Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that's an interesting flex for Feige, though, because it's now he's on his own with something for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
But I really... it's tough, because like, there's no winners on this.
No, there isn't.
There really isn't, because... You know, obviously, I'm not gonna like cape for Disney on this one because they don't need. It's not like they need the fucking money. Like, just you know.
Hey, it's not expensive to run those parks.
Well, whatever. Like, they own everything.
Yeah.
But Sony also doesn't look good on this because the guy that runs it, Tom Rothman's an asshat. So.
Yeah.
Like, there's no winners. Like, anyone who's like, oh, I'm boycotting Sony. It's like, shut up. Like, you don't need to stick up for Disney. They're fine.
I do love some of the fan comments I've seen. So far,
I know.
Where it's like, I think my favorite one was like FU 3000 Sony.
Mm hmm.
Said the Love You 3000 that they did in Endgame.
Uh huh. We're getting. Yeah. I'm just kind of bummed because of where they left it with Far From Home.
I haven't seen it yet, so I gotta wait for it to come out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you'll be extra pissed
then. I know.
Because you're watching, go, oh, wow. Like, I want to see where this goes.
Yeah.
Because it really leads somewhere cool. And. You know, Tom Holland's been the best Spider-Man we've had.
Exactly. And, you know, ever since they introduced him in Civil War, he's been...
Well, hold on. Let me back that up. Our best live-action Spider-Man that we've had. Because Jake Johnson is, I think, might be the best Spider-Man we've had.
Okay.
Bum-ass Peter B. Parker is, you know, he's
okay,
up there, man.
Yeah, we're talking just MCU movies here.
Well, no, because he's better than Toby and he's better than Garfield, obviously.
Well, yeah, but those weren't part of the MCU.
That's right. Okay, well, fine.
So,
but they finally get Spider-Man right and they have to go screw it up.
I know.
Oh, God damn it. I honestly do think that they'll come to something, though, because...
I can see him... I always want to sit there and say, oh, it's going to be like a Zeke watch, but for Spider-Man...
Yeah, kind
of. But to kind of wait and see, like, all right, well, here, we're going to put out, like, our first solo, like Venom 2 or whatever come out.
Well, that's
and, like,
not for a while, though.
Okay, well, their first Spider-Man project by themselves,
mm-hmm.
and then it flops.
I don't want that, though, either.
Yeah, because, I mean, it wouldn't be good for the character.
No.
It wouldn't be fair to Tom Holland, but...
Well, also, I'm just like, I don't want... Because you know where this might be headed, they like end up rebooting it.
Exactly.
And I don't want to have to see like Uncle Ben die again or him get bit by the spider again.
Yeah.
It's like Batman. Like, we're good.
Exactly.
We get it.
We know the origin story.
We don't need...
Yeah.
That's fine. You can just jump into Spider-Man. You can just yada yada everything.
Exactly.
Which they more or less did with Homecoming.
Yeah.
Like, they really yada yada'd it.
Exactly. I mean, they did his first early work in terms of, like, hey, that's you. That's you catching the bus and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So.
But, I mean, then with Spider-Verse, the only reason why they did the origin story because, A, it was funny and it worked and you needed it.
Exactly.
You actually did need it.
Yeah.
But, you know. And they make fun of how many times they've explained it.
Yeah.
But this it's just ugly, and I hate crap like this, because then you're not forced to take sides, but, like, people do, and it's like, come on. We're arguing for one giant company over another, and that's not what we need to be doing.
Exactly. I do love how both Hawkeye and Deadpool
mm-hmm.
got involved in this.
Did they?
Jeremy Renner put on Instagram, like, you know, hey... hope you guys resolve it. Hashtag save Spider-Man.
Really?
And then someone had commented on...
Buy a Jeep.
Huh?
Buy a Jeep and one of my albums. Isn't he doing Jeep commercials?
I think so. I know he's got his own, like, band and...
He does have his own band, yeah. And he's a notorious house flipper.
Exactly. And then with Ryan Reynolds' character... I think it was on his Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had said, hey, can we get a Spider-Man and Deadpool crossover movie? And he said, yeah, only in my heart.
Aw.
So.
Well, you know, at least, I don't know, maybe they come to agreements on one last thing, and then it's like, all right, well, we'll split, because they got to finish out the Tom Holland arc.
I hope so. I would hope to get some closure, because again, we lost Black Widow. We lost Iron Man.
We're getting Black Widow back. Spoiler alert, you're going to get Black Widow back.
Okay. Whatever. Anyway, we lost... We're not talking about the future. We're talking about right now, this year.
Okay.
We lost Black Widow, we lost Iron Man, and now we're losing Spider-Man all in one year? What the F?
I mean...
I can't take it.
I know.
Oh, and we lost Cap.
And you lost Cap, that's right.
To retirement.
Until they do Marvel's What If, which is going to be fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it. That sucks, but that's how it goes.
Right. Grumble, grumble.
No, grumble, grumble. I'm sure after the huge outpouring of vitriol on both sides, you'll get, like, one last, all right.
I hope so.
But then again, like, Marvel's slate is, their dance card is pretty full for a while, so they don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, fine. Do we need Spider-Man anymore? No, it'd be nice to have him, but we have a whole bunch of people we haven't even got to yet.
Yeah.
And Sony doesn't have much.
No, I mean, they're sitting there talking about expanding the Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, a Kraven
double
movie.
Double down what you have.
Yeah. You know, I heard earlier that they're going to try and do like they shelved a Sinister Six movie.
Well, that was what Amazing Spider-Man was clumsily building to.
Yeah.
They walks down the Norman Osborn walks, or is it, oh, Harry Osborn walks down the whole hallway and they magically have the arms. Scorpion's costume,
yeah.
Vulture's wings. It's like, eh?
Yeah.
I don't know how we got all this shit here, but yeah.
But it's here.
Yeah.
Let's make use of
it. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. I'm sure this isn't going away anytime soon. All right, some quick Vulture stuff. Last Friday, Netflix dropped Invader Zim Enter the Florb. And I gotta say, it was funny as shit.
Yeah.
I forgot how funny Invader Zim was.
I forgot how weird the show was.
Oh, yeah.
But it totally worked.
Derb is the best.
Yeah.
Or, no, not, isn't it a Gerb?
Gerb.
Gerb is the best.
You're thinking of Derb from the Wii Show.
No, I know, but I got him and Dib mixed up.
Yeah.
But Fat Paranoid Dib is amazing.
Yeah.
I forgot that how...
I got too buff and then I had to slim back down.
Yeah. I forgot how just dumb Zim is.
Yeah.
I also just forgot the initial conceit that he was sent to Earth because, like, they just didn't want him around.
Yep.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, he was the annoying
the tallest. I forgot about the tallest. I forgot how much I loved Dib's sister Gaz.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Or their dad.
Oh my god, I had totally forgotten about the dad.
Yeah.
But Vader Zim was all kinds of delightful.
Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I did too. I mean, it was long enough. I wish Rocco had been that long.
Yeah.
But I guess the difference is Netflix commissioned this originally, whereas Rocco was going to be on Nickelodeon, so it's like they had commercial breaks. So I didn't, like, it's supposed to be on Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon's like, never mind.
Yeah.
And just let Netflix have it for reasons unknown. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Then James Bond finally released the title of Daniel Craig's last movie. And I gotta say, like, if you've heard this title before, or the variations of it, you're not wrong. No Time to Die.
Yeah.
Joining such other illustrious titles as Die Another Day, Tomorrow Never Dies.
Did Vince McMahon come up with a title for this too?
No. No, just there's only a handful of variations of Bond titles.
Gotcha. They're going for a theme.
Yeah, and they're like, no, it's Daniel Craig is coming back as 007, even though that's not what the whole story was in the first place.
Yeah.
Stupid Sony.
Yeah.
We're back to Sony. they said it's going to come out in April, so I'm guessing we'll get a trailer by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be surprised if that's not, like, the big Thanksgiving Day trailer during football this year. If it's not that, because we'll already have Star Wars by then.
Yeah,
probably be that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's, like, the next big thing, or it's going to be Fast 9, I think. Well, one of the two, but you'll get it very soon, I'm sure. Let's see. Oh, this one I'm really happy about. Lana Wachowski announced that Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss are coming back, and they're doing Matrix 4.
Yay!
Well, no, hold on. I know it doesn't sound appealing, because, you know, the Reloaded and Revolutions weren't that awesome. Although the effects, the action scenes hold up pretty well.
Yeah, but didn't they both die at the end of the movie?
No. Well, she does, but he reboots. Like, the whole point is it's just happening.
Yeah.
So they're gonna explain that, but the Wachowskis have gotten very interesting since the post Matrix.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of their movies haven't done very well post Matrix, but they've had a lot of huge at bats. I mean, Speed Racer was amazing and should have worked. Or it should have been a hit.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, Speed Racer is awesome.
Yep.
I mean, the only thing that hasn't aged well is Emile Hirsch being the hero, but that's not their fault.
Yeah.
That really is not their fault. And it wasn't Speed Racer's fault it bombed. It was very weird, and it came out the week after Iron Man. So that doesn't help. Yeah, it doesn't help. But as someone who saw that at IMAX, holy crap. Like, it deserved better.
Yeah.
Cloud Atlas was weird, but, you know, well done. And then Jupiter Ascending was, holy mackerel. It was terrible, and it was a mess, but it was a very weird and not boring mess.
Okay.
Like, it's...
That's the one with Mila Kunis, right?
It is, yeah. Okay. Channing Tatum and Eddie Redmayne, who both didn't know what movie he was in and knew exactly the movie he was in. It was one of my favorite post-Oscar flexes.
Okay.
It's not a good movie, but it's at least not boring. So I want to see what the Wachowskis do coming back to the Matrix universe. Plus Keanu, come on, he's so hot right now. He's Hansel.
Yeah.
He's got Bill and Ted 3 next year. He's got another John Wick coming in 2021.
We're definitely in the age of the reboot of Keanu Reeves' career.
Yeah, but his career's rebooted a few times. People forget. Because you had early 80s Bill and Ted, Parenthood, like dumbass Keanu Reeves.
Oh,
then
you had
that run, they had Point Break, 90s, and Speed totally reinvented his career again.
Yeah.
Then it kind of got fallow. Then The Matrix, you know, rebooted his career again. And then John Wick.
Whatever. It's
just saying. You know,
age of Keanu Reeves reboot.
I'm just saying. Like, he's had a lot of peaks and valleys, but the peaks are amazing.
Yep.
And the valleys aren't really that bad.
Ain't no valley low.
That's right. Anyway, so this morning I saw a teaser for his horror movie called Antlers, and it looks fucking dope.
Okay.
It's produced by Guillermo del Toro. Directed by Scott Cooper, who did Crazy Heart, Hostiles, and Out of the Furnace, and unfortunately Black Mass. God, that's a shitty movie. But whatever, it's not. I mean, it is his fault, but you know, he's a very interesting director. Now he's doing a horror movie, and with Del Toro producing, yay.
Yeah.
Carrie Russell's in it. It's about this kid is telling stories about monsters that live in his house, and how his parents aren't there. And it turns out there are really monsters. It looks sick.
Okay.
Like, it definitely looks like a Guillermo del Toro produced movie.
I'll have to look it up.
I promise you. It's one of those, like, ooh, okay. Like, I'm in. Let's see, real quick before we get to what's good. The Righteous Gemstones premiered on HBO on Sunday.
Okay.
And fucking Danny McBride has done it again. Like, I didn't realize he wrote and directed the pilot, and it looks amazing. Like, I did not know he had that in him. Like, he's directed a couple Eastbound and Downs. I think he directed one or two Vice Principals. But, you know, this is really well done. John Goodman is incredible in this. Yeah. I mean, McBride plays his normal, like, douchebag alpha male character. And because it's a McBride show, there's very, very wondrous displays of wealth on this. Like, in Eastbound and Down, he always has, like, some trendy vehicle, or he has the water jet ski.
Okay.
Or like, the T-Rex.
Yeah.
Vice Principals, like, Walton Goggins' character just, like, spends, like, really dumb money, even though he's only a principal. Like, they have this huge compound. Like, do you know the premise of the show?
No.
So, John Goodman is, like, this huge, like, Joel Osteen-sized pastor. Like, they have arenas and campuses. And then he has two sons, Danny McBride and Adam Devine.
Okay.
And then there's a sister as well. And she's awesome, but she feels marginalized because they don't let her do anything. Like, the opening scene is them in China, like, doing this huge, like, 5,000-person baptism. And McBride and Devine are, like, having a contest to see who can baptize them without getting water up their nose. Like, they're just continually digging at each other. John Goodman just is fed up with his family. He doesn't really even like doing what he's doing, but his late wife was super into it.
Yeah.
But they're dumb wealthy. Like, they have three jets, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Nice names.
They all live on this huge compound of, like, each have their own McMansion. Like, Adam Devine... His whole house is just arcade games and shit. And he's, like, lonely, so the only person he's living in him is this ex-Satanist that they saved. And he's just taking care of his house. He's just a weird dude who felt uncomfortable, who, like, slept on the couch the entire, like, I think 6 months they were gone in China. Because he felt weird about sleeping in his bed, even though Adam Devine told him he could.
Yeah.
McBride is just as usual. He's just a jackass. Like, he thinks he's the shit, but, like, really, like, he's got a lot of problems.
Yeah.
He's got a family. And then John Goodman is John Goodman.
Okay.
But it's funny as shit. It's super... Yeah. I know it's on the pile.
Yeah.
It's on the pile, but...
Yeah. It's on the novel at this point.
When you can get to the whole McBride HBO run, the Eastbound... Like, they're easy to burn through because they're not that many episodes.
Yeah.
Like, I think Eastbound, it's, like, only, like, 6 to 8 a season. And there's only 4 seasons of that. There's only 2 seasons of Vice Principals, and that's, like, 9 apiece.
Okay.
Like, they're short runs. Yeah. And they're all half hour. But, like, I know. Yeah. I mean, it was funny as hell, and it pairs very nicely with Succession.
Okay.
Which, as I've told you, like, I really enjoy, because it's another one where it's, like, annoying displays of just toxic wealth.
Yeah.
and this week's just no exception. I just love Succession so damn much. Although it was really dark and sad when they had to get rid of that, like, that BuzzFeed site that one of the sons bought in the pilot. It was fucked up and, like, cringy.
Ooh.
But, yeah, it's a good show. Now, I don't know if you'd totally dig it, but I love it.
I can put in or at least watch one episode, see how I feel about it.
I'm trying to think, because, like, the pilot's okay, but, like, it doesn't get good until, like the fourth. It's one of those that doesn't get good until the fourth episode. Once you get there, it's awesome.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think of, like, what the thing I laughed about the most this week. Well, more cocaine, but, like, dear Lord. But, oh, yeah. Like, one of the characters, he buys an apartment for his cousin, but it's really for him just to throw parties at. So he can get pussy like a techno Gatsby. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
he took his daughter to their family. Part of their company owns, like, a theme park. Like, they have a theme park division, so they closed the park for the day so the daughter got her birthday. And they already do all the rides, and it's like, well, can this thing go faster? It's like, well, I don't know, can it? Well, within limits, we'll take it to those limits. Which, I'm like, that's a flex.
Yep.
But anyway, Succession and Righteous Gemstones, that's a great Sunday night on HBO.
There we go.
Please sponsor us. Please sponsor us. All right, so what's good? What you got?
I actually have two things for what's good. And this kind of goes based off a trailer that dropped.
Mm.
It's a second trailer, but for Rambo,
Last Blood.
There we go. Thank you. The Last Blood. I almost said the last name.
I totally forgot they released a second trailer for this.
Yes.
Please do tell. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it is great. You get... It starts off where it's got the Colonel, you know, from the first Rambo, First Blood.
Oh, my God.
Kind of describing... It's just the voiceover, like the soundbite, where it's like, you know, he's the perfect killing machine with guns and knives and his bare fists, and it cuts... every time he says like guns or
sure
or fists,
sure.
the fist one cracked me up because it's Rambo 4 and he snuck up behind the
general.
Yeah, but the premise of the story is kind of unveiled where you know he finally returns home, which
is where war leaves off
exactly. And if I'm not mistaken, it's a friend's daughter comes to visit. And, you know, they build their relationship, and then she ends up going off to Mexico, and she gets taken. And so now he goes down to Mexico to retrieve her.
Oh, my God.
Rambo ensues.
I'm hoping he saw Sicario and was like, I could do that.
Probably.
I'm hoping that's
either that or like, one of the scenes he has is he's planting a bunch of, like, landmines.
Oh, I heard it's very Home Alone.
Yeah. Yes. Planting a bunch of landmines over his property, and you know, it cuts to a scene, trucks are driving in to his property and starts blowing up.
I do not know how I missed this.
Another scene is him, like, he's in his house and he's cocking a crossbow and it's pointed at the front door, and so
sure,
like 10 seconds later in the trailer, because it's only like a minute.
Sure.
Bad guy opens the front door and arrow hits him straight in the chest.
It's basically Kevin's nail gun, except on a larger scale.
Exactly. So I'm a big Rambo fan.
Oh, just because, I am too. I
mean, just because they're just so ridiculous. They're my fast.
Except for the first one.
Exactly. And I am, as soon as I announced, I didn't even have to see a trailer or see anything.
Well, no,
I was sold.
Well, we've been waiting 11 years for this.
Exactly.
Well, 12, because it comes out in 2020, right?
No, I think it said comes out September 20th.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so I don't know if it comes out this...
Oh, it has to be this year.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be doing it a year out. They're not nuts.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Okay, 11 years later, we finally get the conclusion to Rambo.
This time around, because supposedly fourth was supposed to be the last one.
Well, no, I know, but yeah, boy.
But you know, Expendables 3 didn't. I don't think did too well. So
no, well, that's because they never lived up to what that should have been. They never did.
Yeah,
and 2 almost got there, but it was too. It knew it was too self-aware.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be the action movie All-Star Game, and it got too meta.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But then the second thing I watched, and this was a rewatch, I rewatched Aquaman.
Oh, nice.
And I will say, seeing it the second time around, it's definitely better than.
Welcome.
I first described it when I first saw it.
I know. Look, I get it, but with Aquaman, and I had no stakes in it. I just wanted it to be good, and I really like James Wan.
Yeah.
Also, I saw there's this account I follow called Hidden Easter Eggs, and one of them's for Aquaman. I guess there's an Annabelle doll at the bottom of the sea.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't either. I was like, oh shit, okay. But anyway, like, Aquaman is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the good kind of ridiculous.
Exactly. It's a fun movie.
It is. I mean, they eat flowers, for God's sake. He eats flowers so she doesn't feel so bad because she's never been on land before.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Dolph Lundgren is her dad, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I can't stress this enough. And Julie Andrews, Mary effing Poppins is the Kraken.
Oh, my gosh.
That was... Because there was a story, like, she didn't want to come back for Mary Poppins Returns, but she was in Aquaman, which came out that same weekend. Or, a week before.
Yeah.
But, like, so everyone's like, oh, that's weird. Okay,
I did not know that.
Yeah, like it's one of those movies. It's a total flex, and I appreciate it.
Yeah,
like that one was definitely not focus group to death.
Yeah,
but okay, cool. Also, we forgot to mention Big Mouth announced they're coming back in October.
Oh, season 3. I can't wait for that.
I know, me neither. Anyway, for what's good, Allie and I last weekend we saw Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Ooh, how was that?
It was pretty solid. Like, you know, it's solid. Like, if you were like 12 or 13, it would have played a lot better, just because that's kind of who it's for.
Yeah.
But like when they get into like the story portions, it works really well. Like the Scarecrow one was pretty awesome, and the monster effects look good.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like, I was glad I paid for it.
Okay.
Fun story though. We were walking out, and this like kid approached us. He's like, "Hey, can you buy?" He was trying to get a ticket for The Good Boys, because for some reason, like, they're carding everybody for that. Like, I got ID'd. I shit you not, and I don't understand it, because I'm like, can't be that bad. I'm like, it's.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he like gave me like money to go get his ticket for his friend. He gave me his driver's license. And so like, I try to give him his change back. He's like, no, keep it, man. I'm like, oh, fine. So I walk by, and then Allie takes the $5. She goes, no. She walks over to his friend, like, here, take the money. No. We you got us our tickets, man. I appreciate it. She goes, no, we're grown-ups. Go enjoy. Yeah.
Oh, that's anyway, awesome.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It's the last movie that's going to be made by CBS Films, because they're shuttering, but hey, they got a win.
Yeah.
And good for Del Toro.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't direct it, but he produced it. And it very much looks like one of his movies.
Yeah.
A lot of good creature work.
From what the creatures,
like,
pictures that you showed.
Goddamn, the spider one. I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
It's too real.
Yeah.
The other ones, look, they all, other kids meet horrific ends, but the spider one was worse because she lives. And she has to live with that.
Oh, fuck that.
I know. Anyway, the other thing, what's good, so when I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood the second time, well, no, that was last week, I mentioned that last week.
I know, I know.
But I've been trying to distill, like, my Leo Mount Rushmore, and so I was scrolling on Netflix, and I found The Aviator. So I had a couple cocktails and about 3 hours to kill. I like the movie a lot. And you know what? I think it might be creeping up in the top five, at least.
Okay.
No, first of all, the cast is just dumb deep. Like, you have Adam Scott before he was, like, really famous.
Yeah.
Like, he was on Bill Simmons' podcast talking about, like, he was, like, stunned he got that. Because he was, like, nobody at that point.
Yeah.
Like, he was always hanging around Jimmy Kimmel's show. Because, like, I think he was dating one of the producers.
Okay.
And they all just kind of liked him, but he wasn't anything yet.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly is Leo's number two. He's great in it. Alec Baldwin comes off the bench for some good stuff. Yeah.
Alec Baldwin.
I forget the guy's last name, but his first name's Juan. He's a rival. I think he owns, not TWA, he owns one of the other major airlines, and he's trying to put Howard Hughes down, and I'm like, Juan? All right.
Yeah.
Sure, man. Alan Alda's great. Cate Blanchett obviously won the Oscar for playing Katharine Hepburn, and she's just perfect in it.
Yeah.
Jude Law shows up in a scene as Errol Flynn, and it's amazing. Like, it's also, like, it's like the 1 year Jude Law got really famous, because he's, like, in a bunch of shit No4.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, hey, Jude Law, who's this guy?
Oh, I'll have to watch
like
that.
That led to the joke at the Oscars, like, Chris Rock's like, who the hell is this Jude Law? And then Sean Penn not understanding what a joke is, like, I'll tell you who Jude Law is.
Yeah, sounds like Sean Penn.
I'll tell you who Jude Law is, he's a fine actor. It's like, fuck. And then on SNL, a week later, Seth Meyers played Sean Penn, and they did Sean Penn's celebrity roast of Clint Eastwood, and it's one of the lost great sketches.
Oh, I had to look that one up.
I guess I think Bill Hader's Clint Eastwood, I think.
Okay.
No, maybe. Fred Armisen's George Carlin for some reason, but like Seth Meyers as Sean Penn just gets more and more exasperated. Oh, someone's a Larry the Cable Guy. It's like, man, you were Spicoli. What happened? But anyway, Jude Law shows up as Errol Flynn. Kate Beckinsale as Ava Gardner. Gwen Stefani has a scene as Jean Harlow. It's okay. A very 2004 movie.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. See the cast? Yeah. It's very 2004. that's okay. I mean, the effects are cool. Like, there's a lot of, obviously, plane flying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, A, it's called The Aviator, and B, he fucking loves planes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a solid movie. I mean, it's a long-ass movie, I'll warn you.
Yeah.
But
I just haven't seen it in forever.
You saw it?
Yeah, my dad owns the DVD.
Oh, well, I would say that's definitely a Tom movie. But yeah, if you got, like, a couple beers and, like, 3 hours to kill, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to revisit Wolf on Friday night. It's the same principle, and there's nothing to watch on Netflix this week, so.
Yeah.
I can just jump right into it, because that's also 3 hours.
Yeah.
Gotta hand it to Leo. He knows how to... He makes 3-hour movies a ton of money. Because really, I was looking at that, and I was like... Because, like, The Revenant's super fucking long. Aviator, Wolf are super long. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, but like they all make a ton of money. Because like Hollywood crossed 200 million. And like all of them have been hits.
Well, yeah, you can't put a time frame on the genius of Leo.
No, you can't, but it's just funny because like a lot of not many people can do that now.
Yeah, that's true.
Like his whole decade, I think all of his like hits, he's had no, like, the exception of J. Edgar hasn't had a bomb. You know, Clint Eastwood would like to have that one back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But they've all been hits, and they've all been, like, very long movies, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's all I have for what's good. Now, let's, in honor of college football, get to our college movie top five.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. We're gonna cross a little bit, but let's see. What's your honorable mention?
My honorable mention is Orange County.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that I didn't put that on there, but I'm penciling it in now, my honorable mentions.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Black's character is just...
Well, that's my probably second favorite Jack Black performance.
Yeah, I mean, his character is just great in it.
Lance is the best.
Yeah.
Oh my God, is Lance the best.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good cameos.
Yep.
Got Chevy showing up for a scene, Kevin Kline... I think Lily Tomlin is the guidance counselor. I mean, Catherine O'Hara, that's a Mount Rushmore Catherine O'Hara performance as a mom.
I know,
she's
right?
So great. Yeah. John Lithgow is like pitching curveballs in that one.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that's a great pick.
When I was making my list and everything, I'm like, I had my top five like already locked in, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I need an honorable mention. I'm like, oh yeah, what about? Because there's a bunch of movies I wanted to put, but I'm like, wait, but this is more of like a high school movie, so it doesn't translate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
fun fact, you know what high school they shot that at?
Oh, I remember you telling me this too.
It was one of those legendary schools we grew up hearing about during football. A lot of NFL players have come from this school.
Wasn't it Mission Viejo?
Right part of the world, but think a little bit more coastal.
Oh, I'm trying to remember all the schools down there. You got Mission Viejo.
Well, hold on. I take that back as far as the right part of the world, because... damn it. 710 Freeway. That's... We saw Fluffy there.
Oh
wait, were you there for that?
I don't think so.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mondo, Justin, Ruben, and I saw Fluffy there.
Yeah, the only time I saw Fluffy was at Kevin Bean's thing.
My bad.
Yeah. So no, go ahead and just...
Long Beach Poly.
Okay, I was going to say Long Beach Poly.
Yeah.
Because when you said 710, like, that's the only school I can think of. But...
My bad. I'm sorry. So my honorable mention... Well, now it's Orange County. Shit. Well, I'm bumping... I'll bump something off the top five, because...
Well, you can have two honorable mentions, since I...
kind of... All right, fine. Well, my original one, Legally Blonde...
Oh,
I was gonna bump it up.
Yeah.
I was gonna bump it up quicker.
That's one. I didn't ask my wife to do a list this week, but I guarantee that'd be on her list.
No, it's still solid. Like it's really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely college week is Harvard.
Yeah.
Like it's steeped in Harvard.
Yep.
Won't be the only Harvard on this list, because it's Harvard.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your number five?
My number five is Van Wilder.
Okay, that didn't make my list, but it was. It was close.
Yeah, I mean, fun movie, bunch of comedy in it, and that's the peak, I'm going to say Sharknado, American Pie.
Tara Reid?
Thank you.
That was not peak Tara Reid.
That wasn't?
No. No. Her apex is 98 and 99 when she's in the Big Lebowski, Body Shots, and American Pie 1.
I'm going to have to look up the time frame of that.
Yeah, no. 02, like, it's fine, because it's after American Pie 2, and, you know, she's...
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
yeah,
02 is where it kind of starts, like, goes downhill.
Okay, it's on the cusp.
Okay, it's during her prime run.
There we go. See?
Because you also...
Nice compromise.
I think you also have Josie and the Pussycats in that time, which it didn't do well, but at least, it, you know...
Yeah.
It's something. Yeah. Let's see. So my number five... You really threw me for Orange County. I'm ashamed I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
There's I think a couple it was split, because I know it's super about Stanford, but I'm like, it mostly takes place at the high school, but then again, the second half of the movie is all Stanford, and I was thinking about the where Lance and that girl burned the admissions building down. God. Jack Black should have been up for that. Yeah. He really should have. I God damn, he's so good. My favorite Jack Black, by the way, is High Fidelity, but damn if Orange County isn't close.
Yeah.
Okay, which... or my number five... my number five, I gotta put Animal House on there, because it's, you know...
Really? That's your number five?
Yeah. It's really funny, and it's obviously... It obviously created, like... If not created, at least elevated the frat boy movie.
But it's my number two.
I know, but
Toga.
I know Toga. You have peak Belushi. Sadly, it really was peak Belushi.
Yeah.
You know, young Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
The horse dying scene is never not funny.
Yeah.
The food fight. I know a lot of good stuff. Don't get me wrong, but just like, it just paced.
The ladder scene?
I know. Hasn't aged well, but yes. You're right. Also hasn't aged well, the devil and the angel scene.
Yeah.
But the scene they go to, where they go to the black club.
Yep.
Again, not aged well, but it's still funny.
Yep.
No, don't get me wrong. It's amazing, but like, it's one of those, like, just can't rewatch all the time. It just because it's paced weird, because it was 1978?
Yeah.
So it's paced in that way, where it's not like it doesn't move as quickly. It takes you a little bit to get to Delta House.
Yeah,
which I understand why, but like, you know, you could have picked it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Look, there are no losers on here.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, number four.
My number four is The Waterboy.
Oh wow! All right, that's fair. I didn't even think about that,
Coach Klein.
I know SCLSU.
Yep.
Damn. Well, that's gonna be on next week's list, I think.
Which one?
Waterboy. It didn't make my college list because I wasn't even thinking about it in that term.
I was thinking specifically
I know.
Like schools.
No, I know. That's a solid pick.
Yeah. I brought my A game this week.
I know you. I know. I'm impressed. Yeah. Oh, we don't have Brian here to mess up the intention of the list.
Yeah, stupid Brian.
I know.
Love you, miss you.
Rest in peace.
He's leaving tomorrow to Florida, guys.
I know. It's sad. God damn it. Man, I really thought I had it this week, but then you're murdering me.
That's right.
I know. Number four, Old School.
Ooh, that's my number one.
Wow. Well, my number one, again, Harvard shows up.
Yeah.
All right, go on. Oh, yeah, Old School. I mean, it's funny as shit.
Yeah, you get Frank the Tank.
Luke Wilson. Probably the best Luke Wilson performance you'll ever get. I know people say Royal Tenenbaums, and that's close, but come on.
Yeah.
Every time I think about it, I can't think about Florida without the Sunshine State joke.
Exactly.
Oh, Denver, gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Sunshine, yeah.
I mean, I think that's probably the last tolerable Andy Dick performance.
Yeah.
Oh. God. Blue.
I mean, there's just so many good, like, quotable moments in it.
Yeah.
You know, the recruitment scene where they got master puppets and they're just driving around kidnapping people. Or the
Dan band at the wedding.
Yep.
Juliet Lewis as Luke Wilson's ex-wife.
Yep.
That scene's amazing. Jeremy Piven. An all-time great Jeremy Piven performance.
Seriously.
Jeez.
Yeah. Gee.
Oh my God, Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
Yes.
Snoop.
Snoop with Warren G.
Yeah.
Warren G's still alive. Never mind. I was looking at Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
But still, that all totally probably one of the most rewatchable movies ever.
Absolutely.
what's your number four? Or did you already say it? Waterboy, right? What's your number three?
My number three is Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, you see, I almost put that one on there, and I'm like, that did not... There's one specific part of that that hasn't aged well, and like, I can't.
I mean, I like it just because
it's almost there for me, but...
Yeah, it's just a fun movie, and I guess a little fun fact is... Oh, shoot, what is his name? Ogre.
Yeah.
I guess he used to live out here in Canyon Country.
Ogre?
Yeah. He used to live right next door to my wife, Katie, in Canyon Country.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice, go Ogre.
Yeah, so...
Good early John Goodman.
Yeah, I mean...
It's funny, don't get me wrong, but like...
The talent show scene,
shows you what nerds could have been, but instead they ended up really being more like the jocks.
Exactly.
Also, Ted McKinley, a.k.a. Jefferson and Married with Children.
Yeah.
he's pretty terrific. If you can ignore the horrible sex crime that's committed at the carnival, which it's hard to.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Because even for 84, there's like, oh no.
Yeah.
let's see. My number three, Neighbors.
Ooh, I almost put that on here.
I know. Well, look, that I loved it before I had had a kid, but like once you have a kid, it like works even better.
Yeah.
And it's overqualified in a lot of ways. Like they don't have to make Dave Franco and Zac Efron like as human as they do.
That's true.
And the whole thing about being a parent and trying to like remain cool, but like you're just not cool anymore because you're a parent and you have to accept that is fantastic. All the back and forth pranks are pretty awesome. And I really like the way it ends. Like it's a perfect needle drop with Leave Me Tomorrow by Kanan as they get victory over the frat boys. It's pretty great. But yeah, it's one of those in a long line of Seth Rogen movies that are better than they have to be. And I really appreciate Seth Rogen for doing his thing. It's a damn good college movie. It's too bad that Sorority Rising wasn't as good. Also, I really enjoy Hannibal Buress as the security chief. And, yeah. I really enjoy Neighbors. Like, I really thought about that one a lot, because I'm like, you know what? When you're a parent, Neighbors really fucking works.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
And also, Rose Byrne doesn't get to be funny that often, except for, like, that and Bridesmaids. And actually, she's good in Spy, too, but, like, you know, she's game for everything, and I'm glad, like, she just didn't get to be the wet blanket. She's, like, in on all the pranks.
Yeah.
But Franco and Efron are amazing.
Absolutely.
Like, really overqualified in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
All right, what's your number three?
We already said my number three.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah. Okay, your number two?
It was Animal House.
Animal House, okay, fine. My number two, actually, both of them are Harvard.
Okay.
Number two, The Social Network.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Look, it's the best movie of the 2010s with a bullet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super duper Harvard, obviously.
Yeah.
They didn't get to shoot it at Harvard. you know, probably one of the best scripts of all time. It moves. It's way more pages than the movie actually is, but that's good. You have to burn through all of it really quickly.
Yeah.
It's aged really well considering what's happened to Facebook.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Absolutely.
Has that shit aged well?
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield was amazing in it.
Yep.
Timberlake is great.
Yeah.
Fincher directs the shit out of it. Jesse Eisenberg, you know, in another life probably wins Best Actor for it, but you know, who was beating Colin Firth that year?
Yeah.
David Fincher should have won Best Director, goddammit. But yeah, that's my number two.
Okay.
And you said your number one was
Old School.
Old School. All right. My number one, Good Will Hunting.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Good Will Hunting.
Uh-huh. MIT and Harvard are prominently featured. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, I'm penciling that as number one.
Oh,
as a co-share.
I do love that... Katie finally saw it. She's like, I'm not impressed. I'm like, oh my god, how?
Yeah.
How? But yeah, Hall of Fame Robin Williams performance, obviously, it was his Oscar.
Yeah.
Matt Damon and Ben winning for writing it. Amazing.
Yeah, and you get the best clip in the sequel in terms of Jay and Silent Bob. Okay. Applesauce, bitch.
Well, yeah, Good Will Hunting 2 Hunting Season is amazing, because... Them recreating the bar scene is awesome.
Yeah.
I've read shit you haven't even heard of yet. And kudos to Gus Van Sant for cameoing and just counting his money. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that was
but no, Good Will Hunting itself is just it's an amazing movie.
Yeah,
it's,
and it pulls at the heartstrings.
Pulls at the heartstrings. And, you know, who the hell knew they had that in them because they weren't stars yet?
Yeah.
Affleck is great. When Chucky has to go on the job interview.
Yeah.
Retainer. You suspect.
Yeah.
Until I get back, keep you to the grindstone. Casey Affleck has some good moments.
Yeah.
Minnie Driver, between that and Gross Point Blank, had an amazing 1997.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really good movie and a great Elliott Smith soundtrack. Rest in peace. Yeah, so that's our college list. I didn't expect it went off the rails, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So next week, I'm kind of repeating a list I did way back in October, but no one listened to the show then, so I can do it. And plus, Mondo and Gabe are the ones doing it with me, so who cares?
Yep.
It was an early form of our list, but since the NFL season comes back, it essentially comes back. It'll be back by the time we record the week after. So, best football movies.
Ooh, okay.
I know, I have to recalibrate my list, because last time we did it, there was a couple I wasn't proud of, and I didn't really think about.
That's why we do them.
I know. And I'm going to, since this is a repeat, I'm also adding a bonus to it.
Okay.
Also, best fictional quarterbacks of all time.
Oof.
I know.
All right.
I know. Because this way I get to include movies that I'm not putting on the actual top five, because it's just unconscionable.
Yeah.
But I have an excuse.
There you go.
So I'm sure next week we'll have more Cowboys drama, because Jerry Jones is amazing.
Yes, he is.
We're going to have some...
Best owner in football.
Best owner in football. We're going to have some...
Go Cowboys.
Yeah. Best owner, best owner in Texas anyway, but that's by virtue of the Houston Texans don't really have an owner.
Ouch.
We'll have a bunch of other stuff going on, I'm sure, because, you know, it's a week before Labor Day, and maybe stuff will finally start happening.
Yeah, maybe.
And plus, the week the NFL actually starts, I have a better list, because that's when It 2 comes out.
Ooh.
Yeah, so keep that in mind. All right, we'll see you next week. Say goodnight, Wes.
Goodnight, guys.